Good evening, everyone. This is Perry in Colorado, also known as KI0RE. This is the NLA Hems Net. It's held every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. And we talk about things NLA and ham, or together. Tonight's topic, we're going to talk about why do we have communications? Why do we talk? Why do we need to talk? And I'd like some participation from everybody as to why do they need to communicate? And then I'll fill in some gaps. So, I know I sprouted that on everybody real quick, but when you think about it, I want everybody to think about it. Why do you need to communicate? And why do you need to use ham radio to communicate? Well, the first thing is, what is communication? Communication is, it has a sender, it has a receiver, and it has a message. And whatever the message is inside of the sender's head, that's what you're trying to get to the receiver's head. You also have a medium, so there's, or a media, if you will, some method of getting the sound across to the other person. Now, in normal conversation, that's just sound waves that I send across the room. Sound waves are quick enough for local communications. They travel at about the speed of sound at sea level is about 735 miles per hour, roughly. Maybe I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, please correct me. And that's fast enough inside of a home, inside of a room, inside of a even a large building on the same floor. You can still get through. But everybody hears it. And so as you talk, you're using the medium of the air, and you're using pulses of energy, compression of waves. So your waves are compressions, high compression, low compression, high compression, low compression. And your ear detects those compression waves and turns them into a sound based upon the frequency of the waves. And in your head, you hear whatever the message is, if everything's worked right, which brings us to our fourth component of communication. Noise. There can be lots of different noises. Certainly in a loud shop environment, you can't talk as far without screaming to get a message across because there's so much noise. If there's a large dining room, you might hear a lot of noise, various conversations going on about the room. Where you really have a hard time hearing just the person right sitting across the table from you. I'm sure we've all been in different situations where it was a little different in each one. Outside, sometimes it's easier to hear, sometimes it's harder to hear. But you can certainly talk to somebody who's several feet away, maybe even 50 or 100 feet or more. You can hear them talk. And you can hear what they say, and you get their message. That's good. But what? So we have four components. We have the sender, the receiver, the medium, and noise. Now, when we move that to radio, see, I want to move this to my home phone here. I'm not going to be able to do it right now. When we move to radio, when we insert something else in there, let's think about for a second the messages you get from a broadcast radio, AM or FM bands. The one person talking is whatever person they put on the air that wants to say something or that has a job filling in that time, they're always talking or very close to always talking. And the thing they want you to get is in their heads, and they talk, and you hear it on your radio. If you want to listen, your AM radio in your car or your FM radio at home or whatever the situation is, you hear what they're saying. Now, certainly, as they talk, sometimes you get noise. Now, and you're talking over radio waves. They're not frequencies that we're used to hear, but they're certainly over radio waves, and you have noise, and you try to listen through the noise. If you ever have tried to listen to a faraway AM station, sometimes you can hear them and sometimes you can't. Sometimes there's so much lightning or static that you can barely catch what they're saying. When I drive up through a canyon here in Colorado, I hear most of what they're saying, but I don't hear all the inflections. So I have to infer some things through content. So I know that if they're talking about, let's just say baseball, that's a timely thing, that when they say runs and home, then they're talking about a statistic, and they're probably not talking about financing a home or the last track meet that happened just a few days ago. So I can infer some things from the context. Now, that's important because context means a lot. Even when you're in a room with somebody, if you don't know the context of what they're saying or what they're talking about, sometimes you can misunderstand the message. And that's actually a form of noise, not paying attention. So you want to watch for that. Now let's take it up to here. Why do we communicate with ham radio? There's a sender, there's a receiver, there's a medium, the radio, which actually the radio is transferring your compression or the noise you speak into a modulation of the radio signal. It goes across at that frequency. Somebody picks it up. It's turned back into audio frequency, and you hear the message. There can be noise on the frequency. There can be noise because you're off the frequency, maybe by 5 kilohertz or something. There can be noise at either end. In other words, if I'm standing next to a machine that's making lots of noise, even though I'm keying up and talking directly in the mic, the person listening on the radio still might not be able to understand me. There might be static on the transmission, on the radio waves itself. This is transferred to beeps and pops and whistles and any other kind of a noise that you can imagine. Sometimes you don't even get the signal. You can see the person, but you're not getting their signal. This can be from low power, or there's something that's blocking the signal between here and there. There is a certain amount of bandwidth that really attenuates the signal depending upon what's out there. I have some ideas, but I haven't seen that very often. But I have heard it as I've used the radio a few times. So what am I getting at? There's a sender, a receiver. There's the medium. And then there's the noise. And all of these things factor in to whether my message gets the idea that's in my head, gets the idea in the head of my receiver. Let's take for a second a cell phone. Now, a lot of people have used cell phones. A lot of people use regular phones. The only difference between a cell phone and a regular phone is that is the medium that is being used. A regular landline phone, which is quickly disappearing, who's tried to use a payphone in the last 10 years and was able to find one. It's beginning to be a very rare sight to see a payphone anymore, And that used to be the only way you could get the message back to home that you were going to be late at times. Landline is carrying it over wires. They're hard wires, and they're not susceptible as much to beeps and pops and whistles and static, though there was some static once in a while, because as the signal travels down that wire, it has to be amplified. And used to, you'd see those amplifiers up on the poles or on the wires between the poles. You don't see that as much anymore because they've gotten better on both ends. They don't need to amplify it as often. And maybe you just don't notice anymore. On cell phones, it's a different story. Cell phones are completely digital. Now, how can you take an analog signal that somebody speaks, because we handle analog signals all day long with our mouths and our ears, and turn it into a digital signal? Well, it does what's called sampling. It samples the frequency and the loudness, the amplitude of a signal 40,000 times a second, I think. And for the telephone, it's something less than that. It's 20,000 times a second or 30,000. I can't remember what the number is. It's immaterial. The more sampling you do, the closer the output will be. And it changes from an analog signal to a digital signal, which is just all of these 44,000 times a second. Let's just call it 30,000 times a second, just for sake of argument. So you get a sample at 30,000 times a second, you get a value. You put that into a packet and you send it out. And it takes a microsecond or some length of time, some length of microseconds, to send that packet up to a cell phone tower. And since it's just a packet of values, that cell phone tower can send it to whoever you're calling to or whoever you're talking to on the line through a tower, through the landline, whatever. Digital circuits all the way to the cell phone tower that's servicing the person you're talking to, just like I'm talking on my cell phone right now. And then it turns, it goes down to your cell phone, and inside your cell phone or smartphone, whatever you have, there's a digital to analog converter. Now, what does this thing do? It takes digital packets, which are purely samples of how strong, how big the signal was at some time, and turns it into a sound that is there. It's that level right there. And it takes 30,000 of them. And once it gets 30,000 of them, it produces 1 second of sound. So if you've ever heard anybody kind of talking, and then they quit talking for a while, and then they pick up right where they were, or you've heard somebody on the cell phone, and you're talking along, and all of a sudden you don't hear anything for 1 or 2 or 3 seconds, and then you hear them real fast catch up to where they are, you can understand it, but it goes a lot faster. You've experienced this. Question is, that's the mechanics of it. And I guess the last thing is simplex or duplex. In cell phones, there's actually two frequencies that your phone is using. One is the one it's getting from the cell phone tower down to your ear, which is what the person you're talking to is saying. And the other one is what you're talking into your mic going to the cell tower. So you're actually using two frequencies, or it's all compressed into one frequency digital, and it's going back and forth fast enough that it can use one single digital frequency to do it. And the only difference between an analog frequency and a digital frequency is that you're using some form of modulation to send digital packets, that you're on a digital signal. Your equipment is turning it into some kind of digital signal. And they have all kinds of different ways to modulate it to turn it into a digital signal. And I invite anybody that wants to learn about that, please do. I'm not the person to teach you because I don't know them all, but there sure are a lot of them, and they're surely interesting to see how they do it. A normal cell phone, a normal telephone, sitting in a room, talking to somebody, those are all examples of what hams call duplex conversations or communications. You're talking on across one way, and they're listening at the same time. So both people hear everything that's going on simultaneously. And there's a chance they start talking at the same time. You see this on cell phones because there's a short delay on some of this stuff. As it does the sampling, sends the packet out. The packet gets decoupled and demodulated and now produces a noise. So it takes time for all that to happen, and sometimes people in the midst of regular conversation, they don't have any problems, but when they're talking on a cell phone, they've got to kind of wait an extra second or so to ensure that the other person hasn't started talking so that you avoid talking at the same time. Well, then in ham radio, you can have that, but more prevalent is the idea of talking simplex. You can only one person can use the frequency you're listening to at one time. Now, when you have two frequencies, and this is the difference between the way a lot of engineers see it and the way hams see it. When you're using two frequencies, an input frequency for a repeater versus the output frequency of the repeater, you're always on the output frequency if you want to be on that repeater. So listening to the output frequency, when it's your turn to talk, when you key up, the radio is designed to where, if you programmed it properly, it jumps to the input frequency of the repeater when you push the press to talk key. And then the repeater hears you. So what you have is a simplex type of communication, but because you're using two different frequencies and a single repeater, hams call that a duplex mode of communication. We could all talk just like what we're doing if we had a separate input and a separate output. But whoever you're talking to, you'd have to reverse that because you'd want them listening on your output and you'd want them sending on your input frequency. And so you'd actually have to have them swapped, and that's not as good. So a repeater makes a lot more sense because it enables everybody to listen to the same frequency and just go to the input frequency of the repeater once they want to talk when they hit the press to talk switch. Now I know, do I still get everybody? Am I still there, Jan?
Yep, you're still here.
Okay. So is all this making sense? Did I lose anybody getting to this point? Please call now.
This is KC3HVA. Just a comment. I've had, I think it's the Can You Hear Me Now people, Verizon, for 38 years on a landline. About 10 years ago, they ran fiber optic cable at the end of my driveway. I have about a third of a mile driveway. And so they let down the cable coming up. That's not fiber optic. It's copper cable coming up to my house. And water ran out of it. So over the years, every time we get a heavy rain, it gets in the outer jacket. There's 32 twisted pairs. And if it gets bad enough, I start getting static, snapping, you know, like Rice Krispies. And sometimes it gets so bad that you can't hear. So even with the landline, you can have noise problems if you happen to have somebody like Verizon who doesn't want to do line maintenance anymore.
Absolutely. I hear you. I didn't know if you were through or nothing. I didn't hear the over.
Yep, over.
Okay.
Yep.
Sorry about that. Jan, excellent. KC3. Okay, he doesn't recognize it, can't get through. That's a very common occurrence with a wire that hasn't been protected well enough. And after some amount of time, could be 3 months, could be 3 years, could be 30 years, could be 3 centuries, that wire eventually becomes compromised in one way or another. And when it happens, you start hearing, when it gets wet, like you said, like Jan said, you start hearing cracks and pops, snap, crackle, and pop. That's what he means by Rice Krispies. And you hear it in the line. And that it's an indication that you got noise on your landline. Okay, so we've discussed how we communicate in general ways. Why do we communicate? Does anybody want to hazard a guess why we communicate?
We probably need things from somewhere else that we don't have, or we're short in supply of, or we never had, and someone else may have them that we know of that might help us out in an emergency.
Excellent point. So one reason we communicate is we don't have something and the other person does. And I want to add to what you said, but to use exactly the same words, is maybe we don't have the information somebody else has. When you think about when you talk, there's two reasons I can think of that, or does anybody want to add to that? That's an excellent comment by Jan.
Hello, this is John, AB3ZI.
Go ahead, John.
I appreciate your comments and all the comments tonight. I would say, speaking very generally, that just it's advantageous to move information between each other, so it's worth the effort that we have to make to move that information between individuals via radio communication.
So you feel that one of the key reasons we talk is to exchange information.
Well, via radio, yeah. And I heard some instructor somewhere, I don't recall where, who said, actually I think it was a Fred Pryor course, and increasing, you know, one's skill set and stuff. But they said, you know, people communicate in order to express a need. I think is how they put it. Not necessarily like it was like an emotional need. That was I think the implication. But I think with radio, at least with emergency communications, let's say restricted to that kind of subset, you know, we want to move information around because there's some benefit to moving it among various parties.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%, John. I think you hit the nail on the head. We want one of two things. We want to give information or we want to receive information. And there's something really simple that a lot of people forget. I don't always know what information you want. You don't always know what information I want. You don't always know what information I need. I don't always know what information you need. So it has to be a little bit better. When you're sitting in a room with somebody, you can look at their body language, their facial expressions, and how they say things, and you get some idea about what's important to them, what it is they need to hear, and what it is they don't want to hear. And that information is valuable. Well, on radio, you can't see the other person. So the first thing you have to remember is that body language, or facial expression doesn't give you anything extra. And so you kind of have to fill in the blanks and talk to somebody and explain to them. You need to give them the information they need so that you get the information you need. And that's not always easy, to either understand what it is they need or to figure out how to tell them in a way they understand what you need. It isn't always straightforward and plain like that. It can be very confusing. Okay, everybody still with me? Call now if you're not. Or if anybody wants to make a comment, that's loud too. So I go and help my hiking buddy. I help watch her kids while she has therapy on Wednesday nights. I need to leave by about 7:15, or I don't make it back here on time. Well, I left at 7:15 tonight, and I'm driving up the road, and there's no problem. And I said, boy, I made it all the way to Longmont already. This is great. It's just 7:35, so I'll make it easy. And then I saw some flashing lights. And wouldn't you know it, the road's blocked. And it's blocked for well over a quarter mile. And the block is at a point where I don't know which way to go. So I picked one way and I went that way. I had to go a mile east on a countryish type road before I got to another road, that paved road, where I was back into the traffic flow. And not only was I doing it, but everybody ahead of me and behind me was doing it also. So I ended up spending a lot of time in queues for people waiting to turn as I was going. Sure could have used a message on the radio, especially on the radio station I was listening to. But they didn't see that as their general audience population. I wasn't in their general audience population. So they passed on traffic information, but they didn't say anything about the highway I was on. So by choosing that radio station, I might like the person talking on the radio, but it wasn't going to help me. And I said, well, I wonder who I can call. Well, I didn't know who I could call that would be out, so the cell phone didn't do me any good. I didn't know anybody that might be close that I could call that would know what was going on. Well, how about my ham radio? Well, I might have been able to do that, but I haven't got my ham radio fixed. I broke it the other day, and it hasn't gotten fixed. I broke the antenna, actually. I took it off because it was rusted. So I didn't have my ham radio. So there's three uses of radio, and I didn't have any one of them. I want to tell you one more story, and I won't bore you with this anymore. Had a guy that a group of hams, and these hams were assigned a central net control station. And then the others were supposed to be at different collection centers where people would go, and I forget what you call them, but you like a school where they could come and they could stay overnight if they had to. It's an emergency center to take people in because they were pushed out by a fire or whatever. And net control wanted to know who was there at each one of these stations. And so the station went around and collected names and then called off the names. And one of the guys in net control said, no, that's not the way it's done. And he went down there to that particular shelter, and he says, well, what do you got right over there? And the guy had one of the kits that the radio, the group of radio operators, cams, would check out and use at these places. And one of them was a fax machine. And so he says, instead of trying to send this over the radio, send it over that fax. It'll be faster, and it'll work better, and you'll have less problems. So he did. But a guy told us that. That's a third-hand story, and so I botched it a little bit. But the idea is that you have to choose the right medium. I did not have any of the mediums that I knew how to use available. And I didn't want to go up to the police officer and say, what happened, officer? Oh, there's something, you know, there's a whole bunch of people who want to do that. And if everybody did it, that would really tie up the traffic even more. So I turned and went the way I was going. Everybody, it's happened to everybody before. I didn't have my three of the ways that I could have communicated. And I wished I would have had at least one of them so that I could have, one, warned other people, or two, I could have been told what route to take to get around the problem, because I don't think I took the right route at all. I turned right instead of left because I was in the right-hand lane. It's these kinds of things that you want to know. So when you're talking, it comes down to radio operations. When you're talking to someone on the radio or you're listening, try and put yourself in their situation and try real hard to understand what it is they're asking for. And if they don't ask the way that you expect, try and be patient and ask for the information that you need so that you understand what they're asking for, even if they don't ask it in the way that you would expect it. You've got to do this. So it takes a lot more brain power to use a radio than it does to see somebody face-to-face and have a conversation. It's one thing to talk to somebody when you can see the facial expression, see the body language, and understand the ups and downs in their voice and how they emphasize things. Well, you can hear that on radio, but you don't hear it quite as well. And if somebody is presented with an emergency situation, like whatever people in the Committee of Safety might see, you don't know what they're going to say, and you don't know how they're going to say it. So you, as a radio operator, if you are to help them effectively, you've got to put yourself and try to understand their situation. And that takes a lot of brain work as you're sitting there. But you can be a big, big plus sign. Who did Sully Sullenberger, the one who crashed the DC-10, he's a pilot on DC-10, that did cartwheels, and yet most of the people survived on that airliner. That was the one that landed out in the bay. I forget the pilot's name that cartwheeled the DC-10. There was a movie made about it with, like, Ron Howard in it or something. Ron Howard made it. And it was in Iowa. It was a tiny little town in Iowa. Their airport wasn't as big as what that DC-10 was. But they prepared. I'm sorry?
Wasn't that in Sioux Falls, South Dakota? He took it into a cornfield?
Well, yeah. Yes, but I thought it was Iowa, Sioux Falls, Iowa, but maybe I'm
right
wrong.
Right next door, yep.
Yep, right next door. So they took it down, and the first person that pilot wanted to talk to, once he was in his hospital, he was stabilized, the first person he asked for was the air traffic controller that he got. And this was just a random controller. He was on duty that day. Every single transmission he made was calm, was straightforward, and got right to the point. He never chastised the pilot. He never asked for anything that he didn't need to help that pilot. And when the pilot said, no, we can't do that, he would immediately start looking for something else the pilot could do and say, okay, stand by, I'll get another way to do it, because they could not turn the plane except one direction. And they were losing altitude, and they didn't figure that they had enough, so he needed a place to go. Well, the guy there at whoever was on the radio said, Roger, DC-10, turn to your left and go to this airport. And he said, negative, we can't turn left. Or maybe that's why he could turn, but he couldn't make it to that one. He says, I see an airport about 10, 12 miles out. He said, Roger, let me check. Okay, DC-10, that airport is, most of the runways are, they're old, but they should still get you down. So go ahead, proceed as you can. Everybody knew it was an emergency, but this guy was level-headed and exuded in his voice that calmness. He didn't ramp up the situation. Think about what that's going to do. Why would somebody be calling you? They either want information or they need to give you information. What is it they want to tell you, or what is it they need from you? You need to put yourself in that mind frame that because you're in the nice, quiet area here, that you're not going to get excited. Oh, no, you got 50 people and they're about to drown. We got to get somebody up here real fast. I'll get a helicopter, okay? That doesn't work. What has to happen is you have to say, Roger, KC-3 HVA, I understand you got 50 people. They're trapped in floodwaters, and we need some help there. I will be on the phone immediately. We'll try and get you something. Stay on this frequency, please. All other units, please stay off. I get on the horn, and I'm going to call to the right people, and I'm going to get them somebody out there. I start mobilizing everybody I can, but I'm calm. KC-3 HVA, the fire department says they are rolling. They'll be there in about 10 minutes. Can you hold out? Yes, sir. Thank you very much. So I didn't get excited, and KC-3 HVA had a chance to just stay quiet. And then I hear AB3ZI, I'm here, I'm help. I'm only 2 minutes away. I'm going to go see if I can help. Great. John, go for it. And I hope I can't remember your call sign, John. I just guessed that. I'm sorry if I blew it. Please help out KC-3HVA. This KI-0RE, net control. And you just calm it down and take it. And I'll tell you, one of the hardest things for me is when somebody says, can't you listen to what I'm telling you? I need this, blah, blah, blah. And they're going to tell you you're wrong, whatever you say. Calm down and say, okay, tell me in a different way. I need to know this, and I will get you help as quickly as possible. There may be another station that got the message, understood maybe what you're not understanding. Defer to them. We don't ever say, hey, AB3ZI, I got it already. You can't talk to them. I'm going to work on them until I understand this. No, that's not the way to do it. If AB3ZI understands what KC-3HVA is saying, he needs to take the call. And you need to defer to somebody if they understand what is needed. And then you can say, I'm right here. If I can help at all. If you want me to make phone calls, I've got two different phones right here. I can have two people online at the same time. And AB3ZI says, yeah, I'm on my truck, but what he needs is an XYZ. And you say, Roger, I didn't understand that. I will get an XYZ right away. I make two phone calls. I've got XYZ on the way. don't be afraid to relay for somebody, to defer to somebody who understands what the problem is, what the issue is, and can see it in their head. And always keep your wits about you, because your room isn't spinning. Your room isn't full of water. Your room is safe, and they are not, and we want to get help to them. And that's fully within the purview of what a committee of safety does. So be ready. And contact your local ham club and start to practice this, because I'm here to tell you, it does take practice. You might think you know what you're going to say, but when the first time you key that radio up and you're completely blank on what you're about to say, don't hold the button down. Let it go. Let somebody else explain it. So, is there anybody who wants to make any comments, suggestions, criticisms, or anything else? Please call now.
Yeah, this is KC3 NVA. Very good information tonight, Terry. Well worthwhile.
Oh, good. I'm glad, Jan. Thank you. Anybody else?
This is Greg in Florida. I just want to thank you.
Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it, Greg. You're welcome. Anybody else?
This is Helena
okay,
Pittsburgh.
Thank
you.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. You have a good night.
You too. I haven't heard from you in a while.
I've been quiet.
Okay. In that case, I'll close the NLA Hams Net tonight. This night is held every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. It is to discuss things that have to do with the National Liberty Alliance, nationallibertyalliance.org, or ham radio, wherever it is. And we wish to further both causes and prepare hams to be ready to take ham radio into their county and be able to help organize communications for the Committee of Safety. I am Terry from Colorado. I am KI0RE, and the net is now closed. Thank you all very much. I appreciate all the participation in that.